excited to about Yishai Lister.
Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Thank you very much for having me again. My name's Yishai Lister, and today I want to discuss a topic which is relevant at least to everybody once a week. I want to talk about the halachas of belts. So I want to jump straight into things. We're going to start off with the halachas in Siman Tzadi Aleph of Hilchos Tefillah. The idea of wearing a gartel, yes, maybe not to wear a gartel. Let's talk about it. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tzadi Aleph, Sif Beis, in Orach Chaim, Tzorech Lezer Ezer B'Shas Tefillah, everybody needs to wear a belt during davening, even if you have a belt where your lave doesn't see the erva, which we're going to talk about what that means in a minute. Mishum hikain, because there's an idea of wearing a belt that prepares you for a big event coming up, such as standing in front of the King of Kings. But the rest of the bracha, says the Shulchan Aruch, not as long as it's not Shemona Esrei, even Kriyas Shema, Birk and the brachas, the Mishnah Berurah says you don't have to wear a gartel for, even according to this opinion. Since you have trousers where the lave doesn't see the erva, therefore you do not need to wear a belt for other brachas and Kriyas Shema, but for tefillah, there's an additional idea beside the fact that your lave can't see the erva, which the Gemara in Brachas talks about, which we're going to discuss now. There's an idea that one should not daven with his body undressed. There's an additional idea that even though somebody's body is dressed and is properly covered, there's an idea that there should be a gap in between the lave of the heart of the person davening and also the erva, the bottom half of his body, should be a separation. So for example, if somebody's in a bed, the Gemara in Brachas Daf Chof Dalet brings the example that the person, before he says Shema, if he's not dressed under the cover, he should put his arms over the cover and press the cover down against his stomach so as to make a gap in between his lave and the bottom half of his body. Similarly, if you're wearing, if somebody's wearing a gown over his shoulders, for example, a dressing gown, let's say, before they say anything, a davar shebekedusha, if they're not wearing anything underneath, they should first do up the belt in order to make a gap in between the heart and the bottom part of their body. Now, even though our trousers nowadays, they cling very tightly to the skin, and there's no longer an open passageway between the heart and the bottom part of the body, there is an idea, because wearing a belt somehow prepares you for tefillah, because of hikoin, the Shulchan Aruch says, therefore you should wear a belt even though you're wearing trousers and the lave does not see the erva. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, even according to this machmir opinion that the Shulchan Aruch brings, that you should wear a gartel, the Mishnah Berurah says, Bidi Eved, if you do daven without a gartel, even if you're somebody who usually does wear a gartel, your yotze, your tefillah, you don't have to go back and daven again once you can get your hands on a gartel. And the Mishnah Berurah goes further. He says, furthermore, he quotes somebody called Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and we're going to see other opinions later on. Rabbeinu Yeruchim says, specifically somebody who usually goes the whole day with a belt, he's somebody who should be wearing a belt during davening. But somebody who goes without a gartel, let's say, also at the time of davening, v'shas tefillah, this person would not need to wear a gartel. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, is midas chasidus to wear a gartel, even so, even though you don't usually wear a belt during the day, there is an idea, minhag chasidus, a midas chasidus, to wear a gartel during davening. Now, the Halichas Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman Urbach, points out that this Midas Chasidus idea to wear a belt during davening, even though you don't usually wear one during the day, he says specifically in the olden days that there was an idea of Minhag Chasidus, because when people in the olden days used to go to a choshuva place to visit an Odom Godol or something similar, a wedding, let's say, they used to wear these sorts of belts over their clothes, but nowadays that we don't do that, we don't wear belts before we go visit King Charles, or before we visit Lahavdil Rav Chaim Kanievsky, or whoever we're going to visit, we don't wear belts necessarily to visit Gedolim. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Urbach says nowadays there's not such an inyan, even according to the Midas Chasidus that the Mishnah Berurah brings. If you don't usually wear a belt during the day, there seems to be no idea behind the behind wearing a gartel during davening. However, in Orchus Rabbeinu, it brings that the Chazon Ish used to wear some sort of long coat, and he with a belt attached to the coat, and on top of that, he used to wear a gartel too, and the stipler as well used to wear a gartel, and we see a lot of Gedolei Yisrael and the Chassidim of Anshei Ma'isa that they're very makbid with gartel, so it doesn't come from nowhere. Where does it come from, the idea that the Chassidim and the Ar Gedolim, they all seem to be makbid to wear a gartel, despite the fact that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says there's no idea to wear it nowadays. And we're going to see later on in the Shir, Rav Shlomo Zalman himself used to wear a gartel. Where does this come from? Now, the Mishnah Berurah we said that spoke about that there's not such an idea nowadays, he was quoting Rabbeinu Yerucham, but there's other Rishonim which talk about gartels, and we're going to go through some of them now. The Sefer HaTrumah, the Ran, and the Hagos Maimonis, they say that even if you have trousers, they're losh hachotzim bein liboy le'erva, mikol mokoim yazer ezer b'shas hatfilah. And Rabbeinu Yerucham is against all these Rishonim. So it's a bit of a tzorach Ian on the Beis Yosef, he only brings Rabbeinu Yerucham. There's other Rishonim, why the Mishnah Berurah paskens like Rabbeinu Yerucham, there's other Rishonim that seem to say that even though you have a chatzitz or benibula erval, they say that you should be wearing a belt miyuchad for tefillah, and even though nowadays we don't usually wear it, there is an idea to wear a gartel. And the Rabbeinu Yerucham himself, who the Mishnah Berurah is quoting, he says his idea, b'toras yesh mi shekosav. He's not saying it from himself. He's saying there is an idea that you don't need to wear it nowadays. And Rabbeinu Peretz is even stronger. Rabbeinu Peretz's lashon is, osa lehispalal b'lo chagura, afagav diyesh lo mechnasayim. It's osa to daven without a belt, even though you have trousers on, which obviously are mafsik bein libo le'erva. So lots of people have taken on Lechumra, like these Rishonim, Delo Commissioner Brewer, to be very makbid to wear a gartel. Now, in order to be Makai Mitzvah's Hikai, this idea that you wear the belt before you go into a big situation, for example, before you go to a wedding or before you stand in front of Anoshim Chashuvim, in order to be Mekayim Mitzvah's Hikain, people have taken on a minhag also to wear it at Choshev events. For example, if you see a Chosin at his wedding, often they're wearing gartels, or if you're standing in front of Anoshim Chashuvim, they actually wear the gartel on purpose, shelo b'shas hatfilah, in order that b'shas hatfilah they can be mekayim this mitzvah of hikayin. They take upon themselves this idea that a belt is something that they do wear in front of anoshim chashuvim, in order that they can gain this extra mila of this idea of hikayin, of preparing yourself to stand in front of Hashem, wearing a belt. Now, for this reason, the gartel shouldn't just be a shoelace, it shouldn't just be a rope, it should be something choshuv that you wouldn't be embarrassed to stand in front of Hashem with. Like the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sif Hei, Sif Kotten Beis, you shouldn't be wearing something which is a Gnai Lamud Kein Lifnei HaGadolim. If somebody does choose to wear a gartel, it shouldn't just be a simple strap. It should have some sort of chashivas to it. The Minchas Hitzot brings another idea as to why somebody should wear a gartel during davening. He says there's a chashiva sena maila by wearing a gartel when you stand to daven, which is like, he says if you take a policeman or a soldier or a paramedic or a fireman, all these people have, these brave people, they all seem to wear belts. Belts is a standard part of equipment. You see soldiers wear big belts. And there's an idea that when somebody wants to be hisgaber and accomplish great things, that there's an idea to wear a belt. And there's a smach to this. We say a bracha every morning. Ozer Yisrael Bigvura. You see, a belt is an idea that we say Chogra Ba'oiz Masneho. There's an idea with belts which is linked to Gvura. And when you tie a belt to yourself, it reminds you to be strong in your Avodas HaTefillah. And like the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Beis says that Avodas HaTefillah is something which needs constant chizuk. So to actively do something before davening to remind yourself to be strong like a soldier doing up your belt, this is what the Minchas Yitzchok says is another big idea behind wearing a gartel, to help you focus your mind, do an action to help you focus on your davening. And for this reason, the Minchas Yitzchok says you should tie the gartel very tightly. These men wear their belts very tightly, not too tightly so that you'll struggle to breathe, but tightly enough that you can definitely feel it, and it will give you that big boost during your tefillah. The Halicha Shlomo points out that for this reason, you do not need to tie your galtel on top of your jacket, even underneath your jacket. It could be something private between you and yourself. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, for this reason, he was noheg, even though he said before that there's not even idea of minhag chasidus, but Rav Shlomo Zalman himself would wear a galtel underneath his jacket for shacharis. So there is definitely an idea. Now we can also understand why the Chazon Ish, even though he had a belt attached to his coat, he wore a gartel on top of the coat, maybe to wear this specifically for tefillah. We know there was also the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tzadi Ches, says that we should be like Kohanim going La'avodes Hashem, and we should have begodim miyuchodim, just like the Kohanim have in the Beis HaMikdash. They have specific clothes to serve Hashem. We should also have a specific entire suit that we should change into. Nowadays that's not so practical, but we can at least wear some sort of maybe a belt during tefillah, specifically a belt which is made for tefillah, in order that we can mekayim this halacha at least somewhat. The Orach Ne'eman says that for this reason you should untie and retie your gartel just before Shmona Esrei in order to give yourself this extra boost before davening. However, not so fast. The Lekha HaKema HaChadosh says if you do this literally just before Shmona Esrei, it might be a hefsek if you're busy with your belt when you should be taking three steps back and three steps forward for Shmona Esrei. But so you should do it Somach Kodem, let's say Shira Chadosha, where the Chazan often waits anyway to see if there's a minion. You have a good 10 seconds there to make sure that you can undo and read your belt. And even if one of my Chavayim told me in Yeshiva that his Rosh Yeshiva, the name has slipped my mind for now, but even though his Rosh Yeshiva did not wear a belt, he wore a regular belt. He used to undo and redo his regular belt just before davening in order to be mekayim this halacha at least somewhat. The Tehillas Chaim says that one should not specifically put on his gartel just before Shmona Esrei because you lose this mila of hikkoin. We said there's an idea that you wear this belt outside of davening. It's a beggar that you regularly wear, and because it's a beggar that you regularly wear, putting it on for davening it gives you this mila of wearing your begodim chashuvim. And if it's only a beggar that you wear for tefillah, lav dafka, it would have this mila of a beggar chashuv, in which case you should put on your belt at home, and you should also not take it off straight after davening. You can wear it to the car or wear it home, something like that. Now, it's definitely, we said before, we mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah, that b'di'eved, if you daven without a gartel, it's definitely okay. All the poskim take on that it's better to daven without a gartel with a minyan than with a gartel without a minyan. So if it's the last minyan in town, it's not so terrible. If you don't have your gartel, you can still daven with the minyan. Now, even if somebody's not makbid, the Stipler writes in Kreina de Igrisa, he writes that somebody who's in a minyan with people that are machmir to wear gartelech or at least belts when they daven, you should not differ from the tibur. It might be an issue of lois hiskodidu because some rishonim say that it's actually osa medina to daven without a gartel. And in order not to be nearer kemezalzel b'mitzvahs, somebody who's found in a minyan where they're makbid on gartelech should definitely try and wear a gartel. And definitely if you're davening at the omid in such a place, you should definitely respect the minhag hamokim and you shouldn't be mezalzel in the tibur by not wearing a gartel. Now, even though a gartel seems to be, at least according to some opinions, a beggar miyuchet for tefillah, the Orchus Rabbeinu brings on page Kuf Ches that the stipler would go into the Beis HaKisei with his gartel, no issues there. Because even though, let's say, a beggar miyuchet for tefillah, let's say somebody does not wear, is noheg not to wear a kittel at Seder night, he only wears it for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davening, let's say. This makes it into a beggar miyuchet for tefillah. And the poskim say that if you have a beggar miyuchet for tefillah, it's not nice to go into the bathroom, al kolponim for gedolim, but if somebody is the stipler didn't seem to be makbid on this, he used to go into the bathroom with his gartel, maybe it's not considered a beged, it's some sort of belt, not got the chashivas of a beged, unlike a kittel, which is a full-blown thing. I'm not sure, but the stipler is recorded to have gone to the Beis HaKisei with his gartel on. Now I want to move on to a new topic entirely, which is a very difficult topic, and I'm going to ask you for some help. We're going to talk about Shabbos belts. Here we go. Let's say somebody lives in Rishis HaRabim. Let's talk about such a case. I don't want to go to the Manchester Erev, yeah, no. But somebody lives in a place without an Erev. In Simon Shin Aleph, Sif Yud Aleph, it talks about decorative keys. People used to have these silver keys. The Yerushalmi talks about these keys they used to wear around their fingers. These beautiful silver and gold keys. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simon Shin Aleph, pardon? Or type in with a key on, are you allowed to wear these things? Now, in Simon Shin Aleph Sif Yud Aleph, it says something which is made for a tachshit, and it also has a use. For example, a decorative key, it looks nice, and you also use it to open your front door. The Shulchan Aruch says, for example, keys, it's osa to go out with them, even if it's tied around your neck as some sort of necklace. Some allow, if it's made of kesef, the machlokes being, do we see it as a tachshet, or do we see it as something that you use, in which case it would have a problem of hoitzah. Some allow, some don't allow. The Ramah points out that some allow, if the belt is part of a key, which we're going to talk about now, we have, the Ramah says, yesh shekosfu shenoegin bozeh, So some allow Shabbos, a key attached to a belt. Now I've got some keys over here attached to belts. I'm going to go through some examples of how to tie a belt according to various different poskim, and if it's allowed at all. So I've got, the Mishnah Berurah points out that a key to attach it to a belt would only be allowed in this open. I'm not sure if you can see it here, maybe I'll pass it around, where the two links of this belt both go into the hole of the key. It's not like this belt where you just have a key hanging on a link which is attached to another link. This key is only attached to one link. It doesn't take up, for example, let's say this key were to suddenly disappear. Would the belt undo? The answer is no. So in which case, the key is not intrinsically part of the belt. However, on this Shabbos belt, I've got this key is intrinsically part of the belt. If this key were to suddenly disappear, the belt would become undone. So if the key is holding the belt together, then it's okay, the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot and Memhei. If the key is not holding the belt together, you can't say that's intrinsically part of the belt. Rather, it's just attached to the belt, and you're carrying it by having it on your belt. Similar to, let's say, somebody were to have a gun in his belt. If the gun were to disappear, the gun is not holding the belt together, in which case, that might be hoitzah, unless it's in a situation of the kirach nefesh or some other heter that you should speak to your rav about if you happen to have a necessity for a gun in Manchester. Now, the Minchas Yitzchok says that this belt, which I held up before, where if the key were to suddenly disappear, is not good enough. This one over here. He says because only the top part of the key is being mishamish the belt. The bottom part of the key, which is hanging down, is not being mishamish the belt, in which case it's hoitzah on the bottom half of the key. So I'm going to talk about this in a minute. So he says that the belt needs to be more like this. We are using the entire key, both the top part and the bottom part, to hold the belt together, in which case no part of the key is redundant, and no part of the key...
Who are you quoting now?
The Minchas Yitzchak.
He holds that better now?
He holds it much better this way. I know I have a chavrusa in Morley in Kola, Rav Namir Cohen. He's makbid, very makbid, to have his belt like this when he goes out. Pardon? Rav Shlomo Zalman actually argues with him in Chas Yitzchak. He says, like this gentleman wants to say over here, he says, we don't see that we split one keli into two to say that the bottom part of the kli is hoitzah and the top part of the kli is attached to the belt. We know we don't find ever that we split a kli, especially a kli which doesn't come apart, into two parts. So he's a bit perplexed as to why the Minchas Yitzchak prefers this belt over this belt when this key is, if it were to disappear, the belt would come undone. It's fully integrated as part of the belt. It doesn't matter that the bottom part is hanging down, whereas this key, why would this be any better? L'chora, they're the exact same thing. Now, I was thinking about this very much last night, and I came up with some sort of mahalach. I'm not sure if it's what the Minchas Yitzchak had in mind, but it definitely gives us some understanding as to why this might be better. Everybody in this room is wearing tzitzis. Now, the Shulchan Aruch points out that tassels on your beged might be an issue of hoitzah. Now, for example, in Simon Yud Gimel, in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch points out that if your tzitzis become posel on Shabbos, it's hoitzah on the strings hanging off your beged. The reason why it's not hoitzar when they're kosher is because the strings are actually helping the beged function. You can't wear four-cornered beged beheta without tzitzis on your being over on a mitzvah ase yovah asulohem tzitzis al kolach pesil tcheles. So maybe we could say the same idea for a key. Maybe the Minchas Chitzchok understands that this part hanging down is not serving the key, it's not helping the key function as part of the belt, in which case maybe it's similar to a tassel. Where tassel is the Shulchan Aruch doesn't like it because it's some sort of redundant item of clothing which doesn't really help you wear it very much, in which case it's hoitzar. Maybe the Minchas Chitzchok understand that a hanging down piece of key might be similar to posel tzitzis, which we see in Siman Yud Gimel, is an issue. I see a few frowns in the room. Rav Shlomo Zalman Urbach is with you. I'm only saying this as a maybe some sort of explanation as to what the Minchas Chitzchok meant, but the Poskim leave the Minchas Chitzchok who prefers...
Well, if the bottom part were to fall away and you lost it, is that a key anymore? No. You've lost the key. You haven't got a key.
Right, but it's still holding the belt together. The main idea...
But it's not a key. The whole idea of toughness is a key to be able to catch.
Right, so I like what you're saying, because we're going to come on to it. Shlomo Zalman says it's actually a big problem.
Oh,
so we're coming to it. Now, there's another problem. If you tie your key belt on... Let me just give a bit of a hakdama. There's a Mishnah in Shabbos Daf Samech Hei Amud Aleph which talks about this sort of beged that ladies used to wear in the faraway Arabic areas of the world. And they used to tie this cloth around their head. They would get a coin or a nut or a stone, a pebble, and they would put it through. They'd hold it here and they'd tie it around like this, and they'd put the stone through both pieces and the pieces of beged, and they'd tie it together with a string. The Gemara says that the Mishnah says that you can do this from before Shabbos. However, if you do it on Shabbos, apart from the fact you might run into Issa Mukta with the coin, but let's say you're doing it with a nut, he says it looks like you're just trying to carry the nut. It looks like a ha'aroma. Rav Shlomo Zalman says the same thing applies to belts. If you put your key on the belt, it doesn't look like the key is part of the belt. It looks like you're just trying to carry the key, just like this lady is just trying to carry a nut in a Rishus HaRabim. So he says, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, if at all possible, you must tie the key from before Shabbos. It should be there for quite some time in order that, it's, just like this Mishnah says, this nut needs to be tied into this special type of beged from before Shabbos. Also, the key needs to be there from before Shabbos. Now... Pardon?
You couldn't make a Shabbos belt.
If you make a Shabbos belt on Shabbos, you run into problems with this Mishnah on Daf Samech Hei that you mustn't put a nut into this beged, even though it helps the beged function, just like a key helps the belt function, you mustn't do it on Shabbos because it looks like you're just trying to cheat with Hoitzar. Now, we're going to come back to what you're saying before. Rav Shlomo Zalman says something which is lechayra very difficult to understand and makes all Shabbos belts redundant, at least nowadays. He says that if you have a Shabbos belt and you could just as well make this function without the key, putting the key in is very visible that you're just trying to cheat, and you can't do it even if you tie it from before Shabbos. This is Rav Shlomo Zalman in Perek Yudches Ha'ora Reish, where he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman that in the old Madura it's Kuf Tzadi Aleph. He quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman and says, this Shabbos belt, because it could function just as well without a key, for example, these two links don't have a key and the belt's still functioning fine, he says it's therefore it's also to go out into Rosh HaRabim with a Shabbos belt like this, because it could just as well function without keys.
Is functioning as a belt.
Right, but he said, could it function without a key? So why do you have a key there? It must be you're cheating, so it's also. I just want to point something out, that even though Rav Shlomo Zalman was machmir for cheating, the Mishnah on Samech Hei is only machmir for cheating in a Rishus HaRabim. In a Karmelis, let's say, even those that don't hold of the Erev, I think a lot of people agree that most areas in Manchester, at least, are a Karmelis. Cheating in a Karmelis is okay. Cheating in a Rishus HaRabim is also. Rav Shlomo Zalman does not allow these Shabbos belts, which is a bit of a pella. The Orchas Shabbos has a big arichas about this Rav Shlomo Zalman and needs it as a Tzorach Iyun, because there's a Taz in Shin Aleph Sif Kotten Zayin which speaks about long Shabbos belts and integrating a key as part of that Shabbos belt. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that which the key is cheating It's only if the belt could function without it. If the belt can't function without it, for example, it's too tight and the key elongates it that bit more, like this, to make it fit around you, or the string is unattachable and the key functions as a buckle, then it is okay. But the Taz talks about these very long belts, and he says that integrating a key makes the Levushay Strad says that the key does become bottle to the belt, even though it seems to be that it's obvious that you're cheating. And the Taz seems to be matter. So Ochre Shabbos brings with Shlomo Zalman, and he brings this Taz, and he puts them together, and he leaves it as a big tzarachian. It doesn't seem to be a good shidduch. I'll let you figure it out for yourselves. Now, I once saw something in one of the shuls that I learned in. They have a CST radio attached to a Shabbos belt. Does it work with just keys, or can you bring anything out the house as long as you tie it with a belt? Now, just before we start the chazorah, this will be the last thing before we start the chazorah. Can you go out with, let's say, a walkie-talkie, a radio? So, the Nishmas Avraham of Shlomo Zalman, Chelek Dalet, Simon Shin Aleph, Oz Zion, he writes about this, and he says that since the radio is functional, apart from the fact that it makes up the belt, it also has its own function. You can't say that it's truly bottle to the belt because it's also a radio. So it looks, even though it's functioning as part of the belt, the more choshuva use is that it's a radio, in which case you should not go out with a Shabbos belt radio walkie-talkie. I'm going to come to Ramosha in a minute. 1 second. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If it's something that you'd feel comfortable appearing in front of Gedolim with, which I personally would. I think the Chazon Ish might be quite happy with me if I walk in with a Shabbos belt. So as long as it's not on Shabbos belt. Well, if it was on Shabbos, then I didn't have a choice. Yes, I would. I would go in front of King Charles with a Shabbos belt. And if he asked what's this, I'd explain it to him. I want to talk about radios, which Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't like it. Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about radios on a Shabbos belt, and he's matter. Why is he matter? He says because a radio shows that this person is an askan, it shows that he's a choshev mensch, he's Isaac in Avodas Choshevas, for example, Hatzolah members, that their radios, they get to park in the Hatzolah car park in Shomre, in Machzikei Hadas. And for this reason, because the radio shows that you're an ish choshev, there's yesh mokum lodonoso as a tachshet, it's as if it's a piece of jewelry, just like a cheap piece of jewelry makes you look nice, so too the radio makes you look nice in the eyes of the beholder, in which case there might be an idea to be matarit, even not on a Shabbos belt. Maybe if you clip it to your belt, if it's a tachshit, even if you clip it to yourself, you clip it to your shirt, there's room to be makil. Well, if they hold the Erev, then there's no problem. And you've also got this with Moshe Feinstein, who says that you don't need a belt at all because it's a tachshit. But if you're an Oshus HaRabim, maybe an idea to be machmir for Rav Shlomo Zalman, both because a belt doesn't really work with Rav Shlomo Zalman because it's visible that you're cheating, and also definitely a radio because it's not properly bottled to the belt because it serves its own function apart from serving as part of a belt. There's a lot more to talk about with belts, but we've run out of time. I'm going to do a quick chazara, and then we'll call it a day. So we've spoken about gartel. Even if your lave is not roya sa'erva, there's an idea to wear a belt, especially if you have a minhag. Mishnah Berurah brings a midas chasidus. Even if you don't usually wear a belt during the day, minhag chasidus to wear a gartel. The Shlomo Zalman says this is specifically in their days where they used to wear a belt in front of the kings on top of their jackets. Nowadays, no such mitzvahs exist, in which case we're completely exempt from gartels. However, all the gedolim wear gartels, and a lot of the gedolim wear gartels, and we know the chasidim and shemais are very makbid about it. There's many Rishonim, the Sefer Truma, the Ram, the Hagos, Maimonius, that all say somebody needs to wear a gartel. Rabbeinu Peretz says it's also to daven without a gartel, a belt on top of your trousers. And we also know that the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, who the Mishnah Berurah is quoting, says it betoras yesh mi shakosav. He's not himself seemed to be saying it. He's just quoting somebody. It's a bit of a zorachin as to why the Mishnah Berurah only brings this shitta. There's also an idea that you can be mekayim mitzvahs hikkain to prepare yourself for a choshuva situation. People usually wear belts for choshuva situations. If somebody wants to be mekayim as well, he should wear his belt during choshuva situations, and then wearing it for tefillah will gain this extra mila. There's an idea that because of this, your belt should be nice; it shouldn't just be a shoelace. The Minchas Hitzot brings an idea: Oze Yisrael b'gvura, wearing a belt brings about gvura, in order that you can be mechuzak for your tefillah. There's a minhag to the idea is specifically to tie the gartel strongly, to tie it tightly for this reason. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, for this reason as well, in order to give yourself a chizuk, you don't have to wear it necessarily on top of your jacket. You can wear it underneath your jacket. If somebody wants to be machmir without letting anybody know, he can wear it underneath his jacket, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach did himself during Shacharis. Now, we are able to understand why the Chazon Ish used to wear a gartel apart from his belt, which was already on top of his jacket, in order to wear a belt specifically for davening. There's an idea to maybe to undo your belt and redo it just before Shemoneh Esrei, so long as it's not a hefsek. Others are machmis to specifically do it in the house. The Karina de Igrusa says that if you're davening in a tibba, definitely the Fnei Ha'omed, you should be careful to wear a gartel, not to be mezalzel with the minhag ha'tibba. The stipler would go with his gartel into the Beis HaKiseh. Now, wearing a Shabbos belt, we've spoken about an idea that has to be fully integrated into the belt in a way that if the key were to suddenly disappear, the belt would cease to function, it would open. The key has to be holding the belt together. The Minchas Chitzok says that you have to be functioning the whole key. The whole key has to be integrated into the belt. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosar doesn't seem to understand this. We've spoken about cheating. Rav Shlomo Zalman says if the belt could function without the key, it might be an issue to go with it into a Shus HaRabim, but a Karmelis is still okay. We've spoken about going out with a radio on a Shabbos belt. Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to be machmir. Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't seem to even need a Shabbos belt. And that's all we had time for today.
Shkaya.
Sorry, why do you use the word cheat?
Haramah.
In the Lodah of Israel.